Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, May 21st, the Council of Europe's Human Rights Watchdog decries violations of the rights of refugees in Hungary. The United Nations Health Agency says Congo's Ebola epidemic is one of the most complex health emergencies ever faced, and a Filipino bishop speaks to the Pope about the grave situation resulting from the drug war in his country. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. The Council of Europe has accused Hungary's government of widespread human rights violations, including depriving refugees of food. Linda Bordoni reports.
A hard-hitting report published today by the Council of Europe's Human Rights Commissioner, who visited Hungary in February, highlights grave violations of human rights, including the detention of asylum seekers and the intimidation of civic groups, as well as concerns about judicial independence. The Commissioner, Dunja Mijatovic, said rights abuses in Hungary must be addressed as a matter of urgency, and she painted a damning picture of the nation's asylum system and treatment of refugees. She pointed to the rhetoric and policies of the current Prime Minister's government, which she said has resulted in a legislative framework which undermines the reception of asylum seekers and the integration of recognised refugees. Asylum seekers in Hungary are held in two transit zones on the Serbian border, in a crisis situation status, which the Commissioner said is not justified given the small number of asylum seekers currently entering the country. She raised the alarm over the situation in the transit zones, saying that many of the detained refugees have been deprived of food and that government policy had resulted in practically systematic rejection of asylum applications. I am also deeply concerned, she said, about repeated reports of excessive use of violence by the police during forcible removals of foreign nationals. In her report, Mijatovic also addressed restrictions placed on civil society, the independence of the judiciary, and gender equality in Hungary. I'm Linda Bordoni.
The head of the United Nations Health Agency has said that the risk that the Ebola virus will spread in Congo remains very high. The current Ebola crisis has been confirmed to have claimed nearly 1,100 lives in eastern Congo, an area racked by violence by armed groups. The EU ambassador to South Sudan, Dr. Sinead Walsh, was in Rome today to talk about her efforts to raise the alarm and rapidly scale up the response in Sierra Leone during the 2014 epidemic. She told Lydia O'Kane that insecurity is affecting access to communities in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
In Congo at the moment, one of the reasons why the current outbreak, which is the second largest outbreak ever now after the one in West Africa, one of the reasons why that is still going on is actually precisely insecurity, that there was a pre-existing conflict in North Kivu, in that part of Congo, and that is actually hampering people's access to actually come in and work with communities. So that is a huge problem. It's not going away, and we need to focus on it very strongly. And actually, because I'm now in South Sudan and South Sudan borders on that part of Congo, we are working very hard to try and prepare ourselves. So we have now, vaccinated a lot of the healthcare workers along that border area. We tried to train them, tried to set up centres and so on in case Ebola crosses the border into South Sudan.
Do you believe that as a result of the epidemic, do you think that lessons have been learned, and do you think it is a learning curve with regard to what can be done better in the future?
I think yes and no. I mean, I think some lessons have been learned. I think in Sierra Leone, there's a greater awareness now of, the need to do surveillance, for example, at the local level, pick up these kind of diseases before they become, huge problems. I think that the biggest issue, though, is that we haven't yet grasped as an international community that we really need to take a generational approach to strengthening the health system in these kind of countries. We tend to want to come in with our 3-year program. We tend to want to say, I only want to work on malaria. I only want to work on, maternal health or whatever. And we really need, as we do in all of our own Western countries, and as we've seen, some real success stories, particularly in places like Scandinavia, we need, sort of comprehensive approaches to healthcare.
That was Dr. Sinead Walsh, the EU ambassador to South Sudan, speaking there to Lydia O'Kane. In Libya, the water supply to the 2.5 million residents of Tripoli has been restored 2 days after they were cut off by gunmen. Their renewed access to water has allowed the besieged capital to escape shortages that could have caused a humanitarian crisis. Filipino bishops visiting the Vatican for their ad limina visit have been speaking to Pope Francis about their most pressing concerns. Bishop Pablo David of Caloocan Diocese, who has openly criticised President Duterte's anti-drug offensive, told Vatican News the brutal campaign is causing many victims and affecting communities in a terrible and unjust way.
The Diocese of Caloocan includes three cities, no? Caloocan, Malabon and Navotas. And I said, I wonder if you're aware of what we are going through in that particular part of the world, you know, because my diocese has been particularly controversial because much of the extrajudicial killings in relation to the war against illegal drugs that has been declared by our current president is happening there. And I have been documenting the victims. And it's been heartbreaking meeting with the widows and the orphans, the families of the victims of the war against illegal drugs. And I told the Holy Father, I begged his prayers. I said, we need you to pray for us, Holy Father, because of the stand that we have made to defend human life and human dignity, we have been vilified by the government. And our lives have been threatened. Like, in particular, I have been receiving some death threats, I said. But I know in my conscience that what I am doing is really just making a spiritual and moral stand as a pastor, as a shepherd. So my conscience is clear, I said, and I do believe that even if people get addicted with drugs, they are still human beings. And if they're really declaring a war against illegal drugs, I would say they should go after the source and save the victims. And I say the addicts are victims, so we can help them, we can rehabilitate them, not kill them.
That was Bishop Pablo David of Caloocan Diocese. The Catholic Church of Thailand is marking 350 years of its evangelizing mission in the country this year. On Saturday, Cardinal Fernando Filoni, the prefect of the Vatican Congregation for the Evangelization of Peoples, celebrated the anniversary with a mass in Samphan, 30 kilometres west of the Thai capital, Bangkok. Robin Gomes has the details.
The establishment of the Apostolic Vicariate of Siam in 1669 formally marked the beginning of the local Catholic Church in the predominantly Buddhist nation. Through the past 350 years, it has grown, and today it has 11 dioceses with about 300,000 Catholics. In his homily at the commemorative mass on Saturday, Cardinal Fernando Filoni urged the Catholic Church of Thailand to embrace the Lord's invitation of remaining in his love so that they can bear much fruit. This event is a moment of grace. This celebration bears witness to the positive results of the 350 years of work of evangelization in this nation, he said. This solemn and joyful celebration, he said, is therefore a moment of commitment to be missionary disciples. During the Mass, Cardinal Filoni also read out a message from Pope Francis to Thailand's Catholics, expressing his closeness with them as they thank God for the many graces received over the past 350 years. I pray that you may grow in holiness and continue to work in the spread of Christ's kingdom by fostering solidarity, fraternity, and the desire for goodness, truth, and justice in your beloved country, Pope Francis wrote. Cardinal Filoni commended the pioneering work by members of the Paris Foreign Mission Society, MEP. They were followed by other missionaries and religious men and women of various congregations whose apostolic zeal and dedication helped the church take roots in the nation. The Cardinal noted that there is a great need for the work of evangelization in Thailand and that Christianity was the least widespread religion in Asia. He pointed out that the work of bringing the gospel and salvation to all peoples, started by Jesus and entrusted to the gospel, is still very far from completion. To carry out the task of the proclamation of the gospel, Cardinal Filoni said, one must be close to Jesus, must grow in familiarity with him, and be his friend and disciple. I'm Robin Gomes.
The Vatican's Financial Information Authority released its annual report for the 2018 fiscal year at a press conference today. The report highlights advances made to increase financial transparency and to reduce money laundering through the Vatican's financial system. Devin Watkins reports.
René Brulhart, the president of AIF, summed up the Vatican's improved financial transparency during that fiscal year.
The path we are walking on has become a well-paved one and regulated one, and we definitely keep on moving forward.
Mr. Brulhart said the Vatican has made several significant achievements regarding financial transparency, including implementation of a regulatory framework and an improved reporting system. The AIF carries out a twofold function of supervisory authority and financial intelligence within the Holy See. A general risk assessment for 2018 assessed a low to medium level of risk for money laundering and a low level of risk for financing of terrorism, according to the annual report. It also notes that 11 reports were sent to the Vatican's Office of the Promoter of Justice for further investigation. One of these instances resulted in the first conviction for self-laundering, pronounced by the Tribunal of the Vatican City State. 56 reports of suspicious activity were filed, a decline compared to 2017 when 150 such reports were filed. In addition, the AIF exchanged information 488 times with its counterparts in foreign jurisdictions. The director of the AIF, Tommaso Di Ruzza, said international cooperation is an important part of the authority's work. In 2018, the Vatican completed the process of adhering to the Single Euro Payments Area, or SEPA. The move is a step in the direction of financial transparency, according to Mr. Brulhart.
The concrete impact on that is there is more transparency, or even more transparency, on payments. It's faster, but it's also cheaper.
In 2018, the Vatican also registered its own SWIFT code, making its banking system more visible in the area of financial services. I'm Devin Watkins.
And finally, in his homily during Mass at the Casa Santa Marta, Pope Francis reflected on the gift of peace promised by Christ to his apostles at the Last Supper. Christopher Wells tells us more.
Pope Francis' homily considered the question of how we can reconcile the tribulations and persecutions suffered by St. Paul, as related in the first reading, with the peace that Christ promised to his disciples in his final words during the Last Supper. I leave you my peace I give you, which are recorded in the day's Gospel.
La pace di Gesù va con questa vita di persecuzione, di tribolazione.
The peace of Jesus goes with this life of persecution, of tribulation, the Pope said. It's a peace that no one can touch, a peace that is a gift, like the sea that deep down is tranquil, while on the surface there are waves.
La pace di Gesù ci insegna andare avanti nella vita.
The peace of Jesus, he said, teaches us to go forward in life. It teaches us to endure, that is, to bear the burdens of life without losing peace, but instead bearing the burden and having the courage to go forward. This, he said, can only be understood when there is the Holy Spirit within, who gives us the peace of Jesus. The Holy Father encouraged us to face the greatest difficulties of life with this gift promised by Jesus, instead of the false peace that comes from the world. Going beyond the day's readings, Pope Francis invited us to go forward in life with an even greater capacity, the ability to make the heart smile. The person who lives this peace never loses their sense of humor, the Pope said, describing a sense of humor as very close to the grace of God. I'm Christopher Wells.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. Many thanks go to Gustavo Messina in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.